Well, the tug of war between the FBI and Apple over the terrorist 5SE cell phone has not gone away. As a matter of fact, it's kind of gotten thicker this past week, and I thought we'd check back in and see what you guys have found in the past week. I know that, Ed, you've been researching some things, and we were talking a little bit about it beforehand between the segments here. Ed, what did you find this past week that struck you about the whole business that may have changed your thoughts?
Well, basically, I think Apple Insider had an article today that basically said that Apple cooperated at 5 or 6 different times in retrieving information from that account and that phone with the FBI prior to the most recent lawsuit. And basically that they were in constant communication with the federal agencies, mm-hmm. and that the one time the federal agency didn't contact him, they went ahead on their own, contacted the owner of the company.
Which was a health system, I think.
The health system, yeah.
The county health system that owned
right.
the cell phone.
And they went out there, and then they had the county change that password. As soon as they did that,
boom.
Apple's hands were tied, and they yeah. couldn't basically retrieve anymore. But all the information was that they could retrieve in that method was disclosed, but then they kept on being asked to provide additional copies of the same information. You know, that's really the only other thing I dug up.
You know, and it came out last week when we were talking, Gary. I think it was Scott Lawson brought the point up, and then as a matter of fact, Dean Norton was who from Mac Professionals also had mentioned as well this business of the change in the password. It seemed to be kind of the thought was, look, folks, the FBI is simply asking you to do this. Just help them out in this case. Stop fiddling around and grandstanding.
Well,
and then
wait
in
a
the
minute,
past
it wasn't
week,
that. There was a court order.
Exactly. I mean,
okay.
but
there was
the
a court order.
Was...
It's very specific. The court has the right to do this. And if you don't listen to the court order, you're in contempt of court.
But what has come out right. in the meantime is that the FBI shot itself in the foot on its very own when it went to the county health agency and told them before this whole thing began, before the court order came around, to change that password.
Well, the most recent court order, there were other warrants issued beforehand. And Apple did comply with those
mm-hmm.
5 separate times or 6 different times. It was the most recent where basically Apple is the holder of the key, and them as the software, you know, writer, mm-hmm. if you want to flash or put an alternate version of the OS on there that would basically unlock it, the only company that can do that is Apple, because they have the certificate owner. Think of it as like a firmware. So the only time you could put an alternate firmware on there, it has to come from Apple. They're the certificate
right.
writer.
Okay.
And that's what the FBI is asking. Apple's saying, we're not doing it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do this because it's just going to open the floodgates for, you know, all these other lawsuits that are coming through.
So the issue is precedent?
Well, it's precedent, but not in the same way that you think.
Okay.
If it's the U.S. government issuing a court order mm-hmm. to have them do it, and they've done it, and all technology companies will take and comply. The one problem that Apple is experiencing now and the concern that they have is that if they were to do what is being asked of them,
mm-hmm.
it's not beyond the realm of possibility that a different government where they sell iPhones will ask them to do that as well. So if China says, we want you to do the same thing for us,
gotcha.
And there's, you know, if Apple says yes, they could be in violation of our technology treaties that there are almost all the big companies that have security software cannot mm-hmm. sell mm-hmm. certain types of software
sure.
outside of the U.S. or outside of a group of countries that they can sell to.
So the precedence is not only in U.S. law, but it's also internationally what happens.
Potentially, then, China yeah. could say, you can't sell iPhones in China. This is all about money.
Yeah.
It's all about money.
Well, it's a just slippery slope.
Yeah. I love my iPhone, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to see the Chinese have iPhones too. But, you know, you have to understand that Apple is concerned about it,
yeah,
and so they're going to defy as much as possible this court order.
And
they're appealing it right now.
And realize the encryption on that iPhone and the issues that Gary brought up will be the same issues that will come up on the Android phones eventually if they have encryption on them as well.
Absolutely.
And every other electronic device that is out there. So the question is, do we open the gates now?
Mm-hmm.
Do we open them later? Do we take a stand? Which way do we go? And
ending the past.
And on one side of the game, you could say Apple's being, you know, defiant of court and that sort of thing. On the other side of the game, you could say Apple is standing up for protecting what we need to protect. Mm-hmm. So it's really a dangerous, or I mean not dangerous, but uncomfortable position that the manufacturer is stuck in.
Do you think there are other companies that have been in the same situation, and they are not allowed to sell certain technology into foreign countries on the certain blacklist, right?
Mm.
Where we don't have a technology treaty with.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this is going to end up in the Supreme Court? What do you think? Based on the kind of thing, the issues that are being raised here.
I think it'll go that high.
I think
it will, because the appellate court is going to rule in favor of the court order that was issued by the lower court. Mm-hmm. So therefore, Apple, having a lot of money, because they don't pay taxes in the U.S., they hide their money in Ireland and other places, billions of dollars of taxpayer money.
Like a lot of other corporations
Like a lot of other corporations. Mm-hmm. Apple has taken it to a higher level to find out.
They got more money to hide.
When you got that much money, you got to get good.
Okay, I'll give you that. All right. It's still money that, if they had paid it, we wouldn't have such a deficit. But anyway.
And the iPhone makes up how much of their revenue?
A whole lot.
I thought it was over 50%.
Oh, well over.
Yeah. But so, you know, there are companies that cannot sell certain technology into China. They just can't. Mm-hmm. They're not allowed to by our government.
Yeah, and if China was pango-pango, where they had a population of 15 or something like that, that'd be one thing. But when you have a market that is absolutely
billions of people.
It's crazy. Mm. I mean, it's really difficult from a business standpoint.
And Gary, this goes back to you.
Pass that up.
It comes down to economics at that point. You know, this is
welcome to free enterprise. This is part of the cost.
And there are certain companies that would just say, "We'll comply with the court order, and we'll comply with the technology treaties that we have from our government to other governments, or don't have," and they won't sell that technology. And Apple is trying to get around it because they want to sell all their technology wherever they want to sell it, right? Regardless of whether that hurts U.S. citizens or not.
I'm just glad they have Gary here to explain this to me, because I really thought this was defiance versus court orders. And, you know, this adds a certain level of complexity that I could not even imagine. But
they don't do it just because. They do it because of the money.
Yeah.
You know, this goes down the same sort of principle when we talk about, gun rights in this country, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, free enterprise comes with a price. Some of those prices are good. Some of those prices are ugly. And, you know, this is what Apple wants to continue to do, free enterprise. And that comes with a price.
There are manufacturers of weapons in the U.S. that are not allowed to sell to certain other countries because our government doesn't have that kind of a treaty with
them.
And by the way, it still gets sold, right? It's just on the black market.
Could you imagine 10 years ago that we would get to this kind of a discussion where we're talking about a software program for a phone having the kind of impact on not only this country, but on the law, on everything else? I mean, it's astounding.
Well, it won't have a big impact unless there's something on the phone that could have prevented another attack and more people die.
That certainly will complicate.
Right? And then that's a problem, right? That's a problem for anybody withholding the evidence.
You know, I as we talked on the break, I sympathize and I definitely go along with you. I'd like to see that done. But then again, we pay the same price for gun liberties in this country. You know, if we didn't have such loose laws, maybe somebody else wouldn't die from it.
All right, guys, we're going to have to put a bookmark in this right now. We're going to be posting some things on our homepage as well, some other things that maybe you can chew on as you consider the ups and downs, the ins and outs of this conversation. Back in just a moment to design a laptop for you. Yeah, that's right, for you. Coming up next on the Internet Advisor.